It's a tradition on the Sunday after Christmas to have some members of our Orchard family share stories of how God has been at work in their lives. And we're excited to have that happen today. And I wanted to just set the stage for that by reminding you of a story from the scripture. In John chapter 4, Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman, a woman at the well. And he calls her to faith. And as he does that, he kind of laid out, you might remember, some of the details of her life. And what he kind of lays out is that her life's been pretty messy, right? Fits with our theme, messy Christmas. Christmas is messy because life is messy. And then he basically, in kind of laying out the details of her life and saying it's been kind of messy, hasn't it? He basically says, I've got something better for you. That's the call. And she takes that step of faith, and she believes in Jesus, and her life is changed. But I want us to think about what she does right after that, because I think sometimes we don't really remember that part of the story. And what she did was she went and she told people her story of how she had encountered Jesus. And I want to read that part of it to you. This is John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, that's Jesus, believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did, she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They saw the woman, and they said to her, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. But her testimony led to their investigation of Jesus and to their faith. And so the sharing that we sometimes do of our faith stories is really important because it encourages other people in faith. We were talking about this just before the service. It says to us, God is actually still at work in this world. It's not just back in Bible times. It says to us that God is at work in the lives of regular people. People like you and me, maybe people with messy lives like you and me. And that is what makes today so important and so special. Our first speaker for this morning is Nipa DeVries. And Nipa, for those of you who may not have met her, is she and Jack are members of our congregation, and they have served as missionaries in India for several decades. And so the story that she's going to tell us by video, because she's in India, not here. The story she's going to tell us by video is in the context of her travel back and forth between the U.S. and India. So let's go ahead and hear Nipa's story.
International travel is not as fun as it used to be in years gone by. Immigration formalities have changed. Documentations have become onerous. So I was traveling back to the United States from India, and I had just come off 2 really long flights, and I was really tired. And the immigration official that I came to that morning must have been having a really bad day, because he took one look at me and decided that I had broken all sorts of American laws, and that I needed to be penalized because I had been out of the United States. Now, I'm a permanent resident here in the United States, and according to this gentleman, I was required to remain in the United States and not travel abroad more than once a year. Now, I'm one who hates breaking rules, not because of some moral high ground, but I just don't like getting into trouble. I'm just afraid of authoritarian people, and so this incident should have pushed all my fear buttons, except for one thing. For a couple of months before this incident, the Lord had been teaching me about his authority in my life, every aspect of my life, that whatever happened to me, that it was in his hand and it was from his hand, and I was to receive it with thanksgiving because he had taken over the responsibility for my life, and I was not to worry about anything that was happening. And so for the past couple of months before this incident, at every obstacle that I came across, he would stop me and remind me to thank him, to acknowledge his authority, and that he was going to not only get me through, but that he was teaching me something that would be very valuable to my life. So I'd been practicing this discipline, and so when I came before this gentleman who was practically threatening me, I was just reminded, that still small voice just reminded me of what he had been teaching me. The man said, told me to go into this particular room and wait for his supervisor who would deal with me. And that wonderful quiet voice reminded me to use this time. So I went into this room and I sat down and I'm thanking the Lord for what he is doing and what he is going to accomplish. And I was just so overcome with just thanksgiving, just a peace that the Lord was doing something major to deliver me from all difficulties, and I didn't need to worry. And so I just thank God during the time that I had in the peace and quiet. So after a little while, another gentleman came in and he took my passport and he looked at my passport and he said to me, "Is this the address that you live at in Florida?" Because my address was in the passport. And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Welcome home, Mrs. DeVries," and handed me back the passport, and I walked out of there. And does not my father rule over all things? In all things, give thanks. It reminds me that my Jesus has my life firmly in his hand, and no one else gets to say anything about what happens to me but him who loves me, my shepherd. So I just wanted to share that with you because it was such a joy to me what God did that day. Merry Christmas to all of you, Orchard family. Bye.
My story starts a long time ago. When I was somewhere around 12 years of age, I started pole vaulting. It was in an empty lot using bamboo poles and a little thing we kind of conjured up, and we landed in wood chips, kind of stuff that you put in a hamster cage. Really? So I did that through junior high school, and even in high school, we landed in wood chips. You know, those big bags that you see the pole vaulters land in now, those modern invention. The first time I saw one of those was at the end of my senior year. But the rest of the time, it was you pushed wood chips together in a pile where you thought you were going to land. Because that's, you know, we all had kind of, you know, I generally tend to land on the left or land on the right, but you know, sometimes you miss. So sometimes, you know, you land on either none of them or really a small bunch of wood chips, and then you know, and you come out of the pit and it would be in your hair. Anyway, so I had some injuries doing that, and by the time I was in my mid-20s, I would say I had a backache. I've had a backache for 50 years now, and I have just assumed that it was, you know, my lot. And I've had x-rays and scans, and they tell me that I have degenerative disc disease at all levels. And many, many days, I've had trouble just rolling out of bed. I'd have to actually think about it and make a strategy. Okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'll stop. And then maybe I'll sit up for a little bit, and then I'll get out. And so I kind of accepted that was my lot. You know, well, you're getting older, and this is what happens. And along came this walking in wholeness. And I didn't think about my back when I read this. I was trying to think, because I'm trying to be as open-minded as I could be, what in my life would I want God to deal with? Because there's a lot in here. It's not just about physical healing. It's about being complete. It's about being at peace. It's about being about relationships. And so I just thought, okay, I'll read this and let me see where it goes. And by the time the evening came when we were going to do this, I thought, okay, well, I will come in and, you know, my back has been bothering me and what the heck. So I came here with Lorraine, my wife, and I thought, we'll just let, I'll let people go ahead of me. We'll see what happens. Well, almost none of you were here that night, so you won't know this, but there were only about six people here. And so, and there were four people ready to pray. So we got up and we came up and Janine prayed for us. And, you know, and I said, my back has been bothering me. I'm praying, you know, I'd like relief. And the next morning I got up, I woke up, and I started to move, and I thought, I didn't hurt. And I rolled over and I rolled out of bed, and it was, I got right up. And I, you know, went into the bathroom and did my usual thing. I wasn't in pain. And that's happened pretty much every morning since that day. God has healed my underlying problem. Now, praise God for that.
I think I have known my entire life that God is faithful to his children. This past year, he really proved his point to us. In the fall of 2022, I was tired and stressed. There had been a lot going on. Among many things, my mother-in-law had just passed away, and we were cleaning 65 years of life out of my parents' home and getting the property ready for sale. I knew that I wasn't feeling well, but I was sure that I was just stressed and needed to rest up. In October, my daughter Corey and I took a trip to Lake Tahoe for fun. That weekend, it became evident that something was seriously wrong with me. When we had left for the trip, I was feeling okay. By the time we were on our way home, I felt terrible and I couldn't do anything. As we made the 9-hour drive home, I was in a lot of discomfort, but we made it without incident. I went to an appointment with my nurse practitioner the next day, and she immediately sent me to the ER. I was totally dreading going to the ER, but miraculously, a room was available, and I was seen immediately. In the 3.5 hours that I was there, I was examined by several physicians and given a CT scan. The scan showed an extremely large tumor in my abdomen, which was going to require surgery. I was given an appointment with a surgeon the following week. I realized at that moment that I was completely in God's hands, and he was totally in control of the situation. He had placed me in the hands of exactly the right people at the right time. Lots of prayers started to go up from people everywhere. While praying, the message that I got from the Lord was, "Don't be afraid," even though I was, "and take things one step at a time." During the days that followed, I learned that I had been assigned to a surgeon other than the one I had been told I was seeing. When I questioned it, I was told that the original doctor was not available for several months. This turned out to be a total blessing. The surgery was long and complicated, and it took place the week after that, so 2 weeks from the time I went to the emergency room. The doctor nearly had to go into emergency mode and end the surgery before it was complete. Due to her skill and expertise in this type of surgery, she recognized what was happening and took care of it. I knew that she saved my life. 7 hours after the surgery began, I woke up while being put into a bed in the ICU. I was so blessed to be in such a wonderful ICU. The nursing staff was amazing and took such great care of me. Even though I was recovering from major surgery and a large blood transfusion, I had a wonderful stay. if you can have a great stay in the ICU, I did. I felt at peace with what was happening. The pain from the tumor was gone, and God was providing me with excellent care. After 4 days in the hospital, I went home, and then the real work began. My husband Larry and Corey were amazing. I had to have help to do everything. Our church family brought us meals and encouragement. Home health checked in, and a physical therapist came to the house. It was hard, but I continued to take things one step at a time and began to be on the mend. Then came the follow-up visits with my surgeon. She was very pleased to tell me that I was healing well, but it took more than 2 months and 4 labs to get a conclusive diagnosis. Finally, in January, 2 months after the surgery, we had an answer. My doctor had done her fellowship at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. To that end, she had sent the sample there and consulted with her mentor. The diagnosis was a very rare form of ovarian cancer that affects less than 15% of patients. One large city hospital had only ever had 4 cases. Thankfully, my doctor's expertise fell exactly into this area. Yes, the doctor I wasn't supposed to have. Once again, I saw that God had placed me exactly in the right hands. After a PET scan, we returned for another visit and learned that there was no sign of the cancer spreading. The doctor presented several options, and after discussing them, I chose to have chemotherapy proactively. This turned out to be the treatment that her mentor at Mayo Clinic had recommended. Again, I was reminded that God was carrying us through all of this. We continued to take everything one step at a time. It can be my nature to be anxious about things, and this time there was reason to be. But I felt strangely at peace and actually experienced only a little anxiety. The following months were tough. Miraculously, I suffered very few side effects from chemo. For sure, I didn't feel good, but I was able to function with a lot of my normal activities, and my appearance wasn't too scary. Both were an answer to prayer. Now, 1 year later, I have had a clear CT scan. I am on a maintenance medication to block the cancer from returning, and my hair is growing back. I have resumed a more normal life, continuing to take things one step at a time. Through all of this, God has totally blessed us with amazing family, church family, friends, and medical professionals. I have been blown away by all the people who have been praying for me and encouraging me. The support has been quite humbling. I'm continuing on this journey one step at a time. I know that we are not guaranteed of the future, and things could easily have turned out very differently. But God is faithful and has had a plan, which he continues to reveal to me every day.